I don't know. I didn't even look at the Thai book to see if I'm ahead or am I behind.
Alan Zuboff, a Thlinkit elder, drags a rake across a pebbly surface on Angoon's tidal flats. He's been coming to this spot his whole life.
Where we're digging is an old site. It used to be a fish weir back in the back maybe 300, 400, 500 years ago.
Today he's digging for cockles, a saltwater clam with a grooved brown shell. Zuboff visits here almost every day at low tide.
Because if you want to pay $10 for a gallon of milk at the store, it gets pretty pricey to buy stuff from the store, or, well, pretty much anywhere nowadays. So it's best to live off the land, and besides, everything is going organic, and we've been doing it for 10,000 years. Why not keep it up?
The reason not to keep it up? The possibility of toxic metals. Angoon's tribal council has warned people about collecting traditional foods, like seaweed, clams, mussels, crab, cockles, and seal. Back in May, an Angoon hunter harvested a seal near the shores of Hawk Inlet. And KJ Metcalf, a Juneau resident who was boating nearby, asked if he could take a sample. Metcalf was the first ranger of Admiralty Island National Monument, and now oversees the environmental advocacy nonprofit, the Friends of Admiralty Island. When the independent lab tests were analyzed months later, he was alarmed at what he saw. Elevated levels of mercury.
As high as they've ever been in an Alaskan seal, and globally up near the top, so just significant. I called Edward Kukash and said, "Do you still have that seal?" And he said, "No, it's been divided up in the community and it's eaten."
We're all still alive, you know, but we're just wondering how bad it's going to get, if it's going to get any worse, you know, if we're going to be able to fix it.
Edward Kukesh, the hunter, split the seal among 10 people, mostly family and friends from Angoon.
We make seal grease out of the seal fat and all that stuff and use it with our eggs and our fish. You know, it's a big part of like what we do, you know, in subsistence life.
Thankfully, he says no one felt sick, but he worries about the long-term health issues. Exposure to mercury can impact the nervous system. It can impair vision, speech, hearing, and cause trembling of the hands. Given the risk, Kukesh says he won't be going back to Hawk Inlet to harvest seal.
I just don't even want to take a chance and feed my family or anybody else's family, you know, anything that's contaminated.
The location in question is the home of the Greens Creek Mine, which has been operating since the 1980s. It's one of the largest producers of silver in the country, and the only mine to operate on a national monument. So it's subject to regular water quality and sediment testing that gets rolled into a monthly and annual report. It's submitted to the state's Department of Environmental Conservation. Then there's biomonitoring, the testing of sea life, like mussels and sea worms, but not seal.
It's difficult for us to see direct evidence or a link between Greens Creek's discharges to what was found in a particular seal species.
That's Alan Nakanishi. He oversees wastewater discharge permitting for mining facilities for the state's water division. He says seals are considered a high-order life form, meaning they're migratory. The biomonitoring program selects the lowest order on the food chain because they stay put. In other words, a shellfish is easier to pinpoint and use on a basis of analysis to see if anything's changed. And Nakanishi says when it comes to mercury levels, their tests show nothing has.
I guess it's in the ocean, but we can't pinpoint it to Greens Creek's operation or their discharges based on what we're seeing in the effluent monitoring results.
Back in 1989, Greens Creek spilled an unknown amount of ore into the water of Hawk Inlet and went through the steps to clean it up. Since then, Nakanishi says that the water quality has returned to pre-mining levels. The seal could have traveled from somewhere else.
You know, DEC is correct. There is that probability or possibility, I would say.
KJ Metcalf again from the Friends of Admiralty Island.
But when it's that high and that dangerous, that you've got to take some action to determine if, in fact, it is the mine that's causing it, and you can do some mitigation, or if it comes from someplace else and you can prove that, then we ought to know where it came from, because that place is bad.
He's got a smokehouse back there. There's a smokehouse there, one there.
Angoon's mayor and tribal president Albert Howard shows me around a neighborhood on the village's 7.5 miles of road. A little over 400 people live here, and Howard thinks a good 80% of Angoon's residents are out of work. He says a lot of families rely on subsistence to make ends meet.
The hardest part is when community members ask if it's safe to go out and get what they've always gotten to feed their families, and you don't have an answer. And nothing's happening quick enough to give them that answer, and it weighs heavy on you that as a leader, it's part of your responsibility to make sure everything's safe.
Howard wrote a letter to the State Department of Health and Social Services outlining his concerns. The department says it will issue a formal response with the Department of Environmental Conservation in the upcoming week. On the beach in Angoon, Alan Zuboff has already collected a sizable pile of cockles to fill his blue bucket. He says when he goes home at night to eat his dinner, the sweet, briny taste of shellfish is on his mind. But so are the toxic metals.
I am worried about it, but it's in the little person in the back of my mind, or that's sitting on my shoulder, and the little devil saying, yeah, worry.
He wonders about the whole big ocean beyond his community that is both a grocery store and a way of life. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.